He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition already of the Best Stocks Now show on this October the 4th. And we do have a little bit of green or stabilization in the market. The Nasdaq was up 95 just a few minutes ago. It's now up 40, which is 30 basis points. It's at 13,096. The Dow is down 45, however. It's at 32,957. By the way, you're listening to the Best Stocks Now show with Bristol Money Manager Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. The S&P is up a point, 42.31. Oil markets are down today. Oil is down $2.50 per barrel. It kind of looked like a top to me. They're at 92, and that was the top so far. It's been backing off ever since. We're at 86.73, despite OPEC Plus deciding to keep their production right where it's at. At least there's no new cuts, but they will not be adding production. Gold is down 260. The 10-year, a little bit of a reprieve here. Boy, this is the first fresh air we've had in a long time in the bond market. We've got the 10-year down 5 basis points, but we're at 4.75, a number we haven't seen since 2007. And Bitcoin right now is down $60. It's at $27,435. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based nationwide only, or a fee-based nationwide firm, fee-based only, that manages portfolios for folks all across America. And we welcome you to another Best Stocks Now broadcast. I've got Barry Kite here, our chartered financial analyst. He'll be chiming in here in a bit. We had a big sell-off in the markets yesterday again. Why? The 10-year hit 4.80% yesterday. That is a high, going clear back to 2007. We continue to carve out new highs. We're getting a little bit of a reprieve today. Interest rates are backing off 5 basis points to 4.75. But the Dow was down 431 yesterday. The Nasdaq was down 248 yesterday. And the S&P was down 60. I'm starting to hear the word capitulation quite a bit. You know, at some point, Barry, the selling exhausts itself. When you're in the moment, you think that stocks are just going to continue going down forever, or bonds are going to continue going down forever. But you eventually reach, just like a market does, you eventually reach a capitulation point where the buyers can't resist anymore and they start trickling back in.
Yeah, it's like a fulcrum or a seesaw, right?
Yes.
And you get to, and what we have on one end of the spectrum, right, is interest rates, and on the other side, we've got stock prices at this point.
It's pretty rare, too, to see the bond market and the stock market go down at the same time. You know, the old adage, bonds up, stocks down, bonds up. No, they've been running in lockstep here recently with the sell-off in both of them. We've had, we have had a narrowing in the yield curve. We're down to just 30 points right now with the 10-year yesterday closing at 4.80. The 2-year was at 5.10. So we're down to a 30-point gap in the 10-year. That may be also a sign that the selling in the bond market could be finally exhausting itself. But we did have a 12-point rise yesterday and then a 5-point fall here so far today. Well, I guess the number one story as we begin a new day would be in politics. I was pretty surprised to see the ouster of Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. That's your guy down there, isn't he? Dustin Florida, Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz. So yeah, his dad was actually a superintendent of schools. My mom's a teacher there in that county, Okaloosa County, and I think it's District 1, if I'm not mistaken, in Florida. And he went to, I guess, a rival high school. I think he actually went to Florida State too, which is where I went to college. But yeah, his fam. I don't get a lot of news from there anymore because the newspaper isn't what it used to be.
No.
But it's a very military district. We've got two big Air Force bases. Actually, the biggest Air Force base in the world land wise. Is in that district, and it's pretty surprising when I see someone from where I grew up for 20 something years, right, who's shaping politics, especially to this degree.
It only took, I think, 9 Republicans to oust him because all the Democrats obviously voted against him. And one of those was from our district here, our Congresswoman, Nancy Mace,
right,
mm-hmm. who's been pretty controversial, herself. Two of the 9 that voted to oust him, one was from your district where you grew up, and then you've got the Mace connection here, our district in South Carolina, which is, I think, is District 1.
And her office is very, very close to my to the dental office that my wife works at. So
we'll see if it gets vandalized.
See her walking across the
graffiti.
Parking lot. We see her walking across the parking lot every once in a while. But
that's pretty interesting. She was the first woman. Of course, she has military. She was the first woman to graduate
from the Citadel,
which is a military college,
which is a big deal. I mean, I remember back, I guess it was early 2000s. I had had a couple of clients and an old partner who was ended up being an officer on a destroyer. His fellow officer went to the Citadel, pre Nancy Mace, but. Remember that story? That was a big deal. Almost 20 something years ago now, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how that plays out. If anything, I'm just going to say it turns up the heat. It turns up the animosity, the enmity between the two parties because I think.
An intra party.
And whoever comes in there is going to be not quite as, willing to bend and. I think you're going to have some real showdowns coming up. And right now I'm hearing the name Jim Jordan from Ohio, and I'm hearing Scalise from Louisiana. Although I think Scalise has cancer. I think I heard that. So anyways, there's where the rhetoric is. And we can start talking. We can start looking forward to another showdown and a possible shutdown, which would now just be, 43 days, 42 days away. Okay, yesterday.
It made for great political theater. I mean, I was had the vote in the background, right? Usually it's, some financial channel on mute in the background, right? And, it's one of those days where you turn it to C-SPAN.
Well, I was watching the Minnesota Twins the news came
They got
across.
Their playoff win, first playoff yes. win, what, in 17 or 18 chances?
And that was exciting to see for our Minnesota clients and listeners. That stadium it was a heck of a lot more excited than the Tampa Bay.
God, no one showed up.
No, yeah. That is the weirdest thing that nobody shows up for the playoffs.
Thankfully, they're getting a new stadium there. I think they got approval, I don't know, for a 50,000 seat stadium. But yeah, it's not an easy stadium to get to. I've never been to it. And remember, you used to be able to hit the ball off the roof and you got a ground rule double, I think.
Well, for all the Cubans and Latin Americans and that live in Florida, it's just amazing that they don't support their two baseball teams. The Marlins, you go to this cavernous stadium and it's empty. Hopefully they'll do better in the playoffs. Well, yesterday
and the Rays have been good.
Yeah. And the Marlins are in the playoffs this year. Yeah. Okay, well, the Dow posted the worst day since March. Yesterday was just like a gut kick, right? That's that feeling when, you know, you're just sick of it. You want it to turn around. You know it's going to turn around at some point, but, you know, it just hasn't happened yet. Hopefully we're getting at some kind of a capitulation point. We did get some bad news on the economy, I suppose, with the ADP job numbers coming in weaker than expected. That kind of set the futures off on a little bit of a rally.
Yeah, and bad news being good news.
Yes. And, of course, that comes on yesterday's JOLTS numbers where the job openings jumped by a million, 9.6 million more jobs out there available right now, exceeding the 8.7. So maybe, maybe, just maybe, we're starting to see a little bit of weakness in the ultra-strong and resilient labor markets, which obviously continues to be inflationary. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Biden administration cancels $9 billion more of student loan debt. Somehow they're finding a way around the Supreme Court, which struck down President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan to cancel up to $20,000 of student loans per borrower for those who earn less than $125,000 per year. That plan would have cost more than $400 billion, but they've gone around to find some loopholes here and there and canceled another $9 billion in student loan debt. Now, this should come as no surprise, Barry. Mortgage applications dropped to the lowest level since 1996.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, when you look at it, these numbers, I mean, you know, you throw that in the ADP, I mean, think about if we didn't, you know, I think about if, you know, 2 months ago, right? If we got some of these numbers, right? I mean, you know, the 10-year would plummet. And, you know, in this instance, right, the 10-year, you know, really, what last time I looked at it, is only down 2 basis points. But, yeah, you've got mortgage applications lowest ever since, you know, since 1996, which is amazing. And then, of course, the private sector job growth, as you hit on before the break, ADP came in at, you know, job expanded 89,000 jobs, and the consensus was 150K.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, we're more interested in the, you know, in the non-farm payroll number, but still the ADP number shows, you know, beginning to show some weakness, which is
yes,
what the Fed's looking for.
Yes. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage came in at 7.53% compared with 7.41% the previous week. You're going back to 1996. And I also saw a statistic that home ownership is out of reach of 99% of Americans. Okay, I don't know if that's right or not, but I know that number has skyrocketed because to qualify for a loan at this level and today's home prices, that's got to knock just a ton of people out of the market. As a result, mortgage applications ground to a halt, dropping to the lowest level since 1996. The purchase market slowed to the lowest level of activity since 1995. The rapid rise in rate pushed an increasing number of potential home buyers out of the market. I keep going back to Klaus Schwab. You will own nothing and you will like it. You know, maybe that's just, you know, maybe it has nothing to do with it. Or maybe there's some undercurrents underneath the surface, you know, that we don't see. As a 10-year Treasury yield pushed us higher, Wolf Research calls for 5% by the year. And I've seen quite a few calls recently for 5%. We hit 4.88 on Wednesday, so I guess that's not that dramatic of a that's not a stretch. That's only it got within 12 basis points of that. But usually when you start seeing these lofty numbers coming out, I remember maybe 3 months ago somebody came out with a lofty number on the S&P 500 by the end of the year. It was well over 5,000 and was a pretty well-known firm. Usually that puts a death blow, and maybe this Wolf Research call will put a death blow into these rising interest rates.
I want to show you how far we've moved. I mean, July 31st, the 10-year Treasury was just under 4. So, I mean, we're at...
That's unbelievable.
We're at 4.7768 now, so, I mean, what, that's almost... I mean, you know, for simple math, that's about a 20... I mean, that's a 20% increase. Or more in the 10-year Treasury.
And don't forget, the Fed did nothing. And yeah, I've said for years, you know what? The market determines interest rates. The Fed has some impact on it, but at the end of the day, selling of bonds makes rates go higher, and that's what we've seen. Now, Bostic at the Atlanta Fed said the Fed should hold rates high for a long time. He says, I'm not in a hurry to raise rates, but I'm not in a hurry to reduce rates either. Okay, and then we had Mester yesterday saying that she thinks one more rate hike might be appropriate, but it's that higher for longer that really was the lighter fluid on the charcoals of the bond market that just set that thing on fire, and the selling just came in like crazy and drove those rates up like I've never seen before. Global Data U.S. chief economist says a recession is coming, but not just yet. Well, I think okay. We would all agree with that. That's not like going out on a limb or anything.
There's one coming at some point,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the business cycle.
There's a hurricane coming to the southeast, Florida. But not just yet, right? The UK Prime Minister proposes rules to create a smoke-free generation. He's going to make it illegal to sell cigarettes to kids 14 or younger. Then he's going to keep moving that age up, which eventually will restrict the availability of tobacco, make it against the law to sell tobacco 100% at some point in time. So that's the way Britain is going. The SoftBank CEO says general AI to surpass human intelligence in the next 10 years.
Oh, so on that one story, children turning 14 or younger this year can never legally be sold cigarettes in their lifetime.
Well, yes. So eventually you'll phase out, a whole generation. The next generation will not be able to buy. Well, you know, we tried prohibition here in the U.S., and it didn't turn out so good. But that is the prime minister of the U.K. Now, SoftBank's chief executive officer, Masayoshi Son, he's pretty outspoken. He says that artificial intelligence will top the collective intelligence of humanity and come within the next 10 years. He says it is wrong to say that AI cannot be smarter than humans, as it is created by humans, Sun said at the company's World Conference. AI is now self-learning, self-training, self-interferencing, just like human beings, he said.
I think the important piece there is what's your definition of intelligence.
Right? Yes, exactly.
So there's a lot of there's other factors in what is intelligent and what is not. Right?
It
certainly can remember things better than we can. Right?
Yes, exactly. And I go to God, who is omniscient,
right.
and the owner of all intelligence. OPEC Plus panel recommends no policy changes. Saudis keep their oil production cuts in place. Okay, now, when we come back, a lot of news at Apple. There's a lot of selling going on at Apple. A lot of downgrades, and guess who's selling? more on that when we come back. It is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm looking forward two weeks from now when we'll be in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Flights are booked.
Yes, the flights are booked. The rooms are booked. We've got a lot of appointments booked. We're going to be meeting with a lot of people while we're there. There just are still a few slots available.
Yeah, give ED a call. Yes,
855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We'll be at the Kingsley Bloomfield Hills, which is a DoubleTree by Hilton. Okay, Ford makes a new offer to the UAW but does not give up ground on the EV battery plants. Well, the union wants Ford to ensure them that new workers at plants that haven't even been built yet.
That's the part to me that kind of seems
strange.
Tough. They haven't been built yet, and aren't they? I mean, they're not building them themselves. They're partnering with other companies, and so, you know, even if you made a deal, right? If you think a joint venture partner, right? Would they be legally required?
And these
to
are workers that
deal?
Don't even exist yet, that they haven't even hired yet. So that seems kind of like an outrageous demand to me. And it just seems to me that the beneficiary of all this, I can't see how the beneficiary of all this is not Tesla, who has a big leg up on these legacy car makers.
When you mentioned that, you mentioned Rivian in terms of how much they lose per vehicle.
$33,000 they lose on every truck they produce.
Thousand? Yeah, because they, you know, what they need to do is they have to. They've got to ramp up production, right, to be able to overcome those fixed costs and developmental costs. So.
And you've got to have enough demand for your product, which I don't know that they'll ever cross the line of profitability.
I did see one Rivian. I saw one that was finally a different color. I've seen, like, the one that looks kind of, I don't know gray, what color it is, kind of like grayish,
goldish, I've seen a lot of those.
Bronze. But then I finally saw one that was a different color. I think it was, like, some type of green or something, but...
Well, the CEO said you can have any color you want as long as it's grayish, whatever.
Henry Ford. You can have anyone you want as long as it's black, right?
Yes. Okay, Apple CEO and execs are selling stock as shares weaken. Tim Cook, the CEO, the 62-year-old Cook. Now, normally I wouldn't have much to say about a sell, but he sold $41 million worth of stock. I don't know if he put in a limit order or a market order, but that's a pretty big chunk of stock. He's been at the helm of Apple for more than a decade. He still owns roughly 3.28 million shares in the company. But still, that's a sizable sell. And Catherine Adams, the senior vice president and general counsel, and their general counsel, two different people, each sold $11.3 million worth of Apple. The sales came as Apple shares have declined more than 8% over the past month amid softer consumer sentiment. And I just don't think there's a lot of buzz at all around their latest phone. And for that reason, Apple downgraded at KeyBank on valuation and potentially slow U.S. sales. You know, the bottom line is Apple is now a 5 to 8% grower, okay? It hasn't quite reached the AT&T anemic numbers, or the IBM anemic numbers, but that is a massive slowdown from the 20% grower that it used to be, and that means it's not going to get the glamour multiples that it used to get.
Right, and it's growth. Harder to grow. It's harder to grow when your revenue is what, over $100 billion or whatever it is per year, right? Growing it, it's easy, much easier to grow sales, right, or top line revenue or earnings from double digits when you have a small base, right? It's just at some point the company just gets too big. Gets too big, right?
Mathematically. Okay, Citi defends their rough overweight position on real estate. Okay, so there again, if you're looking to these big firms on Wall Street to guide you, they came out with a big overweight position on real estate, which made no sense whatsoever earlier this year in a rising interest rate environment. Now they're defending it. This is REITs for the most part. And now they're defending it, saying valuations are compelling. Well, I think they can get more compelling, and I continue to see article after article after article on Seeking Alpha saying, how can you pass up the REITs here, which are real estate investment trusts? Citi said, despite what it referred to as a rough call so far this year, in other words, a bad call, Citi reiterated they want you to take an overweight stance on the real estate sector. You know what? Just stupidity. 2000, you got to go back to 1996 to find home sales this low, let alone office buildings, let alone bricks and mortar shopping centers, etc. Yeah. So anyways, I've always said you got to choose your gurus wisely. I've never found Citigroup to be very good at all. It's laughable.
Yeah, and you got to divert. We hear real estate, right? Real estate prices going down. You've got to differentiate between home prices,
right,
which have been sticky and still rising, right, somewhat, and versus commercial real estate, right? Unless it's like you said, unless a couple of days ago, unless it's data warehousing, right? Unless you're putting a bunch of servers
every
in there for
one.
AI, all the rest of commercial real estate is down and frankly should be, right?
Yes, exactly. It's just logic. People, it's getting hard to rent office space, very difficult to rent office space. Well, Intel finally is going to spin off a unit, and Intel's been up on that news. They are going to separate its programmable solutions group. That's kind of the low-end group in their business. And, of course, anytime they spin off something, that's usually kind of favorable. You're kind of getting rid of the anchor that's kind of you're dragging around.
Financial engineering, right?
Yes.
If you spin it off, it could get a better multiple, or either what's left could get a better multiple. The point of spinning it off is one of those two pieces will be worth more without the other one there.
I'll tell you another area of the market that has really, really been hit hard, the small caps. Let's just take a look here at an ETF that tracks the small caps, all right? IWM would be a good example. That's the Russell 2000. After being down 22% last year, it's down 1.8% again this year. So small caps getting no love and micro caps even less. As I rank the asset classes in my app, at the bottom of the asset class rankings are micro caps, which are an asset class. They were down 23% last year and down another 10.2%. So this has made it tough, this emerging growth area of the market, which is mostly small and micro-cap stocks. Acorns, I think a lot of people would refer to this area of the market. It's been tough sledding because they take it on the chin with rising interest rates.
Yeah.
They need credit.
Their financing costs are much, much higher. They're caught in what we refer to as their cost of capital, right, is much more expensive, all it's being equal, than if you were a large company. And in this environment, it's even more difficult I mean, particularly, you know, when you get a mortgage at, what do you say, 7.5?
Yeah. And it just points to the need for, you know, looking at the environment around you, and as far as all of the asset classes that are out there, why would you want to have exposure to all of them when many of them are sure losers, okay? The real estate sector is a sure loser. Small caps are a sure loser. The bond market, sure loser. Ginnie Mae's a sure loser. These mortgage REITs, which they're always talking about. I get sick of it. Annaly, you got to buy Annaly now. They're just getting pasted because they're so dang interest rate sensitive. So it just makes no sense to me to not look at the world around you and be a passive investor instead of a semi-active or active investor, because, you know, the conditions at the Fed, the conditions with inflation, the condition with interest rates have major impacts. The emerging markets are a horrible place to be invested.
Well, when pull right now. O, you're talking about Annaly in terms of a yield play. O has been another, which is Realty Income Corp. Check that chart out. Down 23%
yeah.
this year.
And there's a buy article on that every day
today.
On Seeking. Maybe two or three in the top 10 are Realty Income.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the gains in the NASDAQ are holding up. The NASDAQ's up 51. I'm going to call Tesla the stock of the day, and I'll tell you why here in a bit. The Dow, on the other hand, is down 118. There's real weakness in the oil stocks today, with oil being down $2.50 per barrel. And I just look in here, we do have an article out that was released this morning on Seeking Alpha. I don't see it trending yet because I guess I don't write about REITs and big dividend yields.
You didn't put O in, you didn't reference O in the
yes.
Realty Income in the article.
Because I see the top trending article, Realty Income has been obliterated, now at a compelling level. I've been reading that for 6 months now. How much more compelling does it need to get? I read here about Enbridge's preferred stock. That's number two. Of course, Enbridge is a utility that's just getting hammered, okay? Number three, mortgage REIT chaos. Number four, two magnificent passive income stocks up to a 12% yield. Well, when you get a 12% yield, you're talking ultra junk. Run. Here's the next article. Run. Don't walk to these five sweet REIT bargains. And then, of course, here's another. The second Realty Income in the top seven. Who needs a 6% yielding CD when you can own a 6.2% yielding Realty Income? Anyways, that's pretty much the name of the game at Seeking Alpha these days. Now, our article, we'll see if it ever starts to trend. It's an article that's a little sexier than that, looking for some big capital gains going forward. And if you go to SeekingAlpha.com, you can follow me there. And when we write an article, which is weekly now, I'm doing one weekly. I'm committed to doing one weekly for them. They've asked me if I would, and I am. And that the latest article was released this morning, and you'll get an email every time one of our articles is published. So go to SeekingAlpha.com. Try to wade through all the articles on Realty Income and 12% yields and try to get to a more core-type investment investing articles. Okay, as I look at the Dow today, the strength is definitely in big tech. What strength there is, it's the only strength there is. that's a good sign. Okay, I mean, look, the market has stabilized a little bit here today after yesterday's free fall. Microsoft is a leader there. It's up 1.2%. Salesforce is up a little bit. Apple is up just a tiny little bit. And on the downside in the Dow continues to be the industrials. Caterpillar's down 2%. And the oil stocks. Chevron's down 3.1. Exxon's down 3.4. You know, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago that we kept looking at the oil stocks going up every single day. And you wondered, is there an end to this? Are they going to just keep going up? Are oil prices going to go to 100, then 150? And then we saw a few articles showing up on Seeking Alpha saying oil headed for 150 and some really, you know, really lofty numbers, trying to get people to open up your article. I call it clickbait. That's about when oil started to turn around and go back, and now it's down to $87 per barrel.
I heard that I heard some of the quality of the petroleum in our petroleum reserve is like sludge. You know how you get down to the bottom of a gas tank, right? And
yeah.
When you get down there, stuff settles, and it's not near as good.
So. I'm wondering why my car was backfiring around town here, you know, and I guess that might be it. You know, I got sludge in my tank. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, the stock of the day is Tesla. S&P 500, the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today, Tesla, up 3.2%. And I think as the UAW thing drags on, in all of the problems that, you know, the legacy car makers have, man, they have a lot of hurdles to try to be competitive. You know, I was reading about what they're promising, the unions, and Tesla's up 3.2% today. AMD's having a good day. AMD's up 1.6%. Amazon, which finally, the government's after them for being a monopoly, it's up 1.5%. We'll see how that plays out. But that could be a headwind for Amazon fighting all of that in court. And then I've read other articles that say, well, the worst that could happen is Amazon would maybe separate into several companies, like break off their AWS or whatever, and still it might be a better deal if they did that. It might be worth more if they did that. Adobe's up 1.4%. The losers in the S&P 500, pretty much the oil patch, totally the oil patch. The oil patch getting hit hard today. That's about the second or third day. Oil is very difficult to predict. There's a lot of forces. There's foreign entities. There's enemies in there. There's black market for oil where ships are traveling in the middle of the night without any lights on. There's all of this obstacles being placed in the way of our production here in the U.S. It's a very difficult market. And like I say, a few weeks ago, you wished you would have owned all oil stocks. Now you wished you didn't own any oil stocks.
Well,
that's
gasoline
the way the
inventory.
Oil patch goes.
I saw where gasoline inventories this week rose 6.5 million barrels versus 1 million last week. So
yeah, and all of a sudden the crack spread has narrowed, and that's hurting the refiner. So it's a difficult, very difficult area to play. I use it as a hedge mostly. I mean, they're not reliable, dependable growth stocks by any means. Okay, well, we're out of time. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which hopefully helps get you through tough times like this, I mean, it's good to have somebody who's been through it for the last 2 decades plus and who has been through times like this. I mean, this is nothing compared to 08 and 09, although this sudden rise in the bond market has been pretty unnerving. A sudden rise in interest rates. That's something I haven't really seen that in my memory, such a rapid rise from under 4, almost 80, over 80 basis points in such a short period of time. That's unnerving. But we're hoping that we have that capitulation, hopefully, starting to come to an end, the selling exhausted. which eventually it always does happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. Anyways, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us in Michigan or over the phone, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST.
Solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.